Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady is an artistic guru, ladies and gentlemen. She does life drawings and all kinds of crazy things, but the main thing we want to chat to her today about is the portraits that she does, because they're very unique in nature, as she doesn't use canvas or paint. She uses a scalpel and cardboard. It's Melissa Bates. How are you doing today, Melissa?
Great. Thanks, Goff. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to meet you.
That's okay. We have met previous, but that's okay. because Melissa actually did my portrait, which we're going to chat about in just a moment. But firstly, where did the artistic bug hit for you, Melissa?
Well, all of my life, apparently, ever since I've been like little, I've always wanted to make things. I've been really interested in making anything. You know, just constructing something from my imagination. So that's what I've been. And then after years went by, I went to school. And when I was 14 and 9 months, I wanted to leave school and I wanted a job in art. So my mum said, well, if you want to leave school, you'd better look for a job. And so I read stencil cutter for illuminated signs. And I thought, aha, that might be art. So I went there. And they taught me how to be a stencil cutter for illuminated signs. And I really loved that job and I worked in it for years and years until my job got taken over by a laser cutting machine. And so because I still loved that and I didn't have the factory there with me all the time or light tables or anything, I decided to cut out the top surface of cardboard, which is a bit like in the sign company, you cut out masking solution on a Perspex panel on a light table and you look through and you see a lion drawn by a layout artist of what the sign's going to look like. So you just more or less cut out millions of lines and peel out rubber masking. So I really had been cutting out for a long time. And so I don't do any drawing to do my portraits. I just get the person to sit down and I look at them and I look for shapes and patterns and talk to them and just I find it really, really intriguing to meet the people and just cut out from life a picture of their face.
Cool. That's awesome. That's all. I now know have no more questions. I'm kidding, of course. that's very cool. So tell us about the tools you use, the cardboard and the scalpel instrument that you use. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, at first I tried lots of things to cut out and I found pasteboard in the newsagents, which is just black on top of raw cardboard. And so I always used to do my portraits like that as a busker. A council busker, you know, with a permit in Brisbane. But then after a long time went by, one day I went to the framers and I found white mat board with a black core. And so I thought, oh, wow, that'd be great. They just use it for cutting borders around pictures. And so I thought that would be really good. So that's what I use at the markets. And so I just have a scalpel and I use it, I sort of draw with a knife. So I cut out all my lines. But because I've been doing it for such a long time, I've sort of invented a way to, you know, cut out my lines and I get people to have a go at how it feels, like to peel out the outline of their face and the background. And I just really believe that human beings like watching other human beings make things, so I really hope to want people to come and get their portrait done just because it's a process, because it's an exercise in patience, and it's all about, you know, just being people-to-people experience.
That's cool, super cool. So now most people would say the eyes are the window to the soul, but you, when you do your portrait, start with the nose. Why do you start with the nose?
Because I believe that the nose is the center point in our body and the very important thing because we breathe with our nose. So I sort of say that it equals equal mental and physical representation sort of, and it's the center of the face. So it gives me a good place to start apart from all the philosophical beliefs that I breed into everything. that's what I think.
So what's the hardest part about doing the portrait? Because it's not an easy skill to do, because I've seen you do it and it's very technical. What is the most difficult part for you?
Every different face is a different invention, a different sort of a different feeling when you start. You really, because you're doing something so outlandish, you often have a sort of a wonder what the person is going to expect, because a lot of people, they relate it to things that they've heard of before, like getting portraits cut out that are silhouettes in Paris, like with scissors and lino cutting and things like that, and scraper board, but it's nothing like that. So I hope that the person is wanting to do something for art's sake, you know, like just for a feeling to see something get done and hopefully like their picture in the first place. Yeah, so I'm a slightly nervous artist. I think that each day of your life you sort of have an element of maybe wondering if everything you do is going to work out, but I've put myself in that position and I love every moment of trying to do it, and I really appreciate the people who have supported me throughout this time.
Well, that's good. Absolutely. Now, because your portraits are actually tactile in nature, you can actually feel the portraits because it's one piece of cardboard on top of another type thing. So you've recently done some portraits for some blind folks because they can actually feel their portrait, which is a really cool experience for them because they can actually feel what their face looks like type of a situation.
Well, that's one of my best. Recently, I went to work with Forward Steps Mobility people, and they were the most amazing people I've ever met. Like, they really opened my mind. They sort of gave me a different dimension of awareness. And the people, I always, you know, a long time ago, I wondered if they would be able to feel their pictures and maybe see the light and dark shades. And the people feel happy, I think, but they were just the most wonderful people. I just can't believe that they don't take every step of their life from looking in the mirror, you know, like, and their personalities were just as interesting as everyone else in the world, but they sort of took life from a different angle. And I loved the people so much, and the experience was so great. And it was overwhelming for me, like, just like sort of to talk to them and meet them and do their portrait and then see. I can't tell what they can depict from feeling them, but I'm hoping that they can read what I've done, you know, which is a picture of them.
No, absolutely. So what I will do as well is, because Melissa very kindly did my portrait as well, and we took a few videos and some photos of her in action. So what I will do is I will be posting them up on the Beer Nuts Productions social media, our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So if you head on over to the Beer Nuts Productions socials, you'll see photos and videos of Melissa in action and how she actually does her thing, because it's very technical and it's a very clever art form that she does. And by my understanding, it's very unique. Do you know anybody else that does what you do?
No, I don't know anybody else that does what I do. And if they did do it, they would have had to have been maybe cutting for a long time to cut freehand without drawing, like to have any plan, you know, so...
Well, that's actually a good point that you make. You don't actually draw the thing with a pencil. You just go straight in with the scalpel. So if you make a mistake, you got to either start again or figure it out. I mean, because if you cut something, it's finished. It's all over.
I never can start again. So I just have to go with the flow of the way I'm being led at the time and the feeling of the person and everything about it. It's like I zone in on them for the time they're there, for the person. And when I start the next page, I've sort of got to forget the other person so as I don't do the other person's nose on the next person's face. Like, I'm really engulfed by the moment of being with that person. It is a really zoning in experience. And for them and me, I think, because not many people have been stared at for so long, you know, on a one-on-one basis.
No, cool. Yeah, no, very cool indeed. Now, you also do life drawing. Can you tell us a little bit about why you like life drawing?
Well, also for the human element. They're nude people. So I'm doing pictures of people, really big pieces of cardboard, 1.20 m x 820 millimetres. So I just cut straight into the cardboard, and sometimes I'll do that. We only have one model, one nude model. So I believe that clothes are sort of a facade, you know, so as you can't you can't see the person's, you know, the way their arm moves, and so it's very interesting to understand, to try to see anatomy in the way. It's so interesting just to see people in the nude, because I think it's really healthy for us, because it makes us connect to thinking, oh yeah, everyone's got a body, you know. It's a really good thing to do, and it's just, I love to do it, and I like to make a design just looking for shapes and patterns. So I might do some of one pose. We have lots of different poses. I actually run the poses, run the class, so we I time the poses, so we have 5 2-minute poses, 2 5-minute poses, 10-minute poses, and then we have 20-minute break, and then we have 15-minute poses after that. So I do say 3 big pictures at most sessions. And other people, you know, we don't have a teacher. We just dare to scribble, look for shape and pattern, dare to draw a dick, you know, just sort of, we just really, really do our own self-expression and look for traits about us. Like when you take your pictures home, because you've just dared to scribble and you've just drawn out what you can gather from looking, seeing, thinking, doing things the way you want with no teacher, with no stopping points in your brain, someone saying do this or that, and you can see your style.
Yeah. So, cool. Yeah. So I'm getting the idea that you hate restrictions. You're a bit of a free thinker and a bit of a free flowing sort of a lady, and you don't like the conformities. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I really like, I think that there's a place for everything, and I think that in commercial art, if you're taught, you have to be able to do exactly what people want to see. But if you want to be a fine artist in your own right, then being taught, so, and I was thinking, you know, I was going to ask you, Gough, that yes. If you, I was thinking there's a famous art exhibition in Australia called the Portia Guiche, and it's, there was a woman and she's very famous called Portia Guiche in the 1800s, and in those days not many women could work in art, and so she started a trust for women artists only. It's the only thing where women artists can either do a portrait of themselves or someone else they'd like to. And I was thinking, could I do a picture of you?
Well,
for this, like, I would like to do a picture of you, and you could like be modeling nude or like,
well, hello ladies.
Oh, like, oh, I don't know.
I'd have to insist that you keep your hands to yourself, Melissa. I mean, you know, this doesn't come for free. You know what I mean?
I know that you're a celebrity. I know that having the whole of you would be a really big thing.
You'd need some big sheets of cardboard if I'm going to be nude, let me tell you.
Well, they are big, the sheets of cardboard.
You might have to put 2 or 3 together, I think.
Oh, and you don't have to answer straight away.
Well, that'll be a to be continued. So people listening to the podcast will now be on the edge of their seat. Can they see Gough in the nutty in a pretty art exhibition? What a thrill.
You got to be selected, though. So my picture of you has to be really great, and we have to send it in before the 5th of August on midnight, a photo of it. And they see if they want to select you. You either have to do like a famous person like you, or, yeah, so.
Well, they better select me, otherwise I'll tell you what, my fragile ego might not be able to handle not being selected. Goodness gracious. So let's talk a little bit more about what you really enjoy and get out of what you do, because you've got a real passion for what you do. Like, you can tell when you speak, you genuinely love your work. It's not something that you, I'm going to assume, it's not something you're going to make millions of dollars doing, because it's a very unique art form that you do, like at the markets and whatnot, which, you know, is a bit of a shame in a way, but, you know, it's just the passion that keeps you going, yeah?
Well, I used to be at the markets all week, but now I'm at the markets only on Saturdays and Sundays, and Mondays I run my life drawing class. But yes, I still want to be a famous artist. I always wanted to be a famous artist. I'm nearly famous and not dead yet, but
I'm still
excited about having invented my own. I'm developing my own technique all the time. And sometimes now I paint the cardboard before I cut you out. So you have three layers. So I could do you in three layers.
Well, sounds far more inappropriate than it actually is.
There's probably more layers to you than that.
Well, yes, I'm very multi-diverse. That's, yes. So now tell us a little bit about the Royal Queensland Art Society.
Well, the Royal Queensland Art Society is a really great place. It has lots of art classes there. And I just happened to rent the space and run my class there. But a long time ago, I used to always, even when I worked, I used to run that class and not operate it as part of my business. You know, I used to just, if there was any money left over, I used to just take, you know, put it towards the Royal Queensland Art Society. But now I run it as part of my business, my class.
You mean like the life drawing? Is that?
Yeah, the life drawing class. But it's a really great place. And if you're a member of the Royal Queensland Art Society, you can be a member for, I think it's about $80 a year, and you don't have to go to any classes there, but you can exhibit your art in the gallery there. So there's an art gallery, it's by the sea, and it's a beautiful place. It's got a good studio there, and there's a lot of people running good classes there, like a famous watercolor teacher called Annette Raff, and there's lots of people that have been and gone and you know, that have run classes there, lots of great artists.
Now, if people want to learn more about Melissa Bates, what are your social media channels? Where can people learn a little bit more about you and check out your work?
Well, I'm Melissa Bates Artist on Instagram. So that has my life drawings there. And if you want to get your portrait done, which I'd really love to do anyone's portrait, I'm really happy if anyone has the time to sit down and get their portrait done at Marina Mirage. I'm there every Saturday morning, and I'm at the Art and Craft Sunday markets on the beachfront every Sunday. And sometimes we're at Broadbeach, sometimes at Coolangatta, and sometimes at Burley Heads.
Do you enjoy the markets?
I love the markets. I love the communal feeling that, like, we're like a travelling circus. I like the links between, you know, people, and I like how you get there. It's like you live there. And the people that run the markets are very supportive. And it's amazing to see people inventing new businesses, new ideas, or people that have been there for years, you know, selling things that they just love creating. It's an interesting place. It's a changing atmosphere. It's an interesting thing just to make a stall that, you know, can handle the weather and to work out how you're going to present your stall. There's so much more until you do something. You find a little seed within it that you have to invent and then work with, and then things that don't work and do work, and things you change. It's a great place to find out a lot of things.
That's awesome. What a wonderful conversation. I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, Melissa. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me, Goff. You're a great person. I really love to do your portrait. You have special powers.
Special powers. Well, you should see me when I'm nude. Now, that does bring us to the end of this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment, rate and review. 5 stars is always good. You'd give this 5 stars, wouldn't you, Melissa?
Yes, it's fantastic. It's a great show. I've listened to lots of the other podcasts that Goff does, and they're fantastic.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Can't get a better recommendation from that. Then, of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.